Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Yes, thank you, Brother Dearman, and welcome back to Reading the Word. I'm so glad that you have decided to join me, Justin Reed, as we finish up our series. In this episode, we have been talking about the Christian Olympics, and we divided it up into three main sections of study: preparing to race, running the race, and now we're in the last section, which is finishing the race. And we've been talking about some things that we can expect to find in, or what can we expect when we finish the Christian race. Well, first off, we as Christians, as we've noted previously, but just to remind ourselves, it has been a while since we've had this chance to be together. We've talked about how there is victory in death. We've also looked at the abodes of the righteous and the wicked, that being of paradise and of torment. We've talked about the return of Jesus Christ and how it is a definite that he is going to return. We've talked about how there will be a great resurrection. The faithful will be raised first, and those that are still alive and faithful will be caught up to meet him in the air. And then we talked about how there will be a great and final judgment. And that's where we left off last time, how we're going to have to give an account of our lives, how the righteous will be separated from the wicked. And now as we continue our study on reading the Word on the Christian Olympics, I want us to look at our final point on things that we can expect once we cross that finish line, once this world ends. We need to look at heaven, and we need to look at hell. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you on the outset of this two things. First off, I've done an entire audio series of sermons that I've preached here at Wood on heaven, and they're available on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. It's there on the bottom of every page. There's a button if you would like to learn more about that. But friends, do you realize that the Bible speaks more about hell than it actually does on heaven? Well, first off, let's see about heaven. What does the Bible say? We were just in Matthew 25 and verse 34. We'll read it again. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So this tells me that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. In fact, it's so prepared, Jesus tells us it was prepared from the beginning, or from the foundation of the world. Peter adds to this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we said this inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, and is reserved in heaven for you, for me, for those of us who die faithful to the Lord. We also see on heaven what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we begin here in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We see that we are longing for that home, that eternal home where God is dwelling. And that's enough. But then the fact that all the righteous are there as well just makes it even better. Friends, heaven should be our goal. And it really, if you poll the world as a whole says, I want to go to heaven. The problem is the world as a whole is not doing anything to actually get to heaven. It looks good on paper, but they don't live that life. We've looked at heaven. On the other side of that, we need to look at hell. Go back to Matthew 25 with me and verse 41. Jesus has already said to those on the right, enter ye into paradise, to those on the left. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say unto them that are on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Friends, just as heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. Did you catch that? Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, but hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. That's not an original Justin Reed quote, but it fits here in this lesson. Also, 2 Thessalonians 1. And verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? And lastly, Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, John writes, by inspiration. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, friends, we've examined heaven and how beautiful heaven must be. We sing so many songs in our songbook about wanting to go to heaven, the beauty of heaven, who all's in heaven, what all's in heaven. Friends, we should never want to go to hell, and we should never want to joke about them, because this is serious. It is literally a life or a death measure. So as we close out our study on the Christian Olympics, what can we expect at the end of this Christian race? Well, there's victory in death. We die a victor. We've looked at the abodes of the righteous and the wicked. There's paradise versus torment. We've talked about the return of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. We've talked about the great resurrection of those here on this earth. We've looked at a final judgment. And then in just immediately preceding this, we've talked about heaven and we've talked about hell. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I think about this, and every time the Olympics roll around, it reminds me that I need to be working, living, acting the life of a Christian so that I can be found faithful to the Lord each and every day. So hopefully when life is over, I've been found faithful unto death, and I will receive that crown of life. Now, here is a great place for us to stop. We're going to take just a small break. Hope you'll join me on the other side. We will continue reading the Word with Justin Reed.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Welcome back to Reading the Word. I'm so glad you decided to stick around with us. If you're just now tuning in, the premise is simple. We open God's Word, we apply it, we read it, we make an application to our life. We don't add what we think, but we simply read what God's Word has said. I am Justin Reed, and I am so glad that you are here with us. I want us to examine, for the time that we have remaining today, a phrase that God says in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. So if you have your copy of God's Word, and I'll be reading from the King James Version, by the way, I will be reading Matthew 17, about the first 5 or 6 verses. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. Now this has happened not too long. In Matthew 16, Jesus Christ asked his disciples, Whom do you say, or whom do men say that I am? Some John the Baptist, some Elijah, one of the other prophets. Whom do you say that I am? Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, not too long after this, Jesus takes what's often been thought of as the inner three, his best friends, everyone look at it, Peter, James, and John. They go up to a high mountain, and Christ is transfigured. He literally becomes glowing. He becomes bright. They're truly seeing the essence of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And then God says something very important. Well, before I get to that, you have Moses and you have Elijah. Moses represents the Old Testament law because Moses is the lawgiver. Exodus 20, we learn that. Elijah is thought of as one of the greatest prophets. Well, he sums up all of the prophets there. So you have the entire Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And then we see Peter says, Lord, it's good that we're here. Why don't we worship all three? Build a tabernacle, build a building, build a tent. Everyone look at him for all three of you. And God encircles them. And you hear a loud voice come out of that cloud, Matthew 17, verse 5. And God says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, he's already said this in the book of Matthew. He says it in chapter 3 at the end of it, at the baptism of Jesus Christ. And he's quoting from Psalm 2. But he adds three words here at the end of Matthew 17 and 5, which is the topic for our study for the remaining time we have in this installment. Hear ye him. You have the old law, you have the prophets, and you have Christ. And we learn after this, verse 8, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus Christ only. They were all gone, except for Christ. God has identified, this is the one I want you to hear. I don't want you to listen to the old law. We're not bound to that anymore, Colossians 2:14. And the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets are no longer binding to us because they've been fulfilled in Jesus the Christ. But God says, hear ye him. Now, what do we hear about God? Well, he says, or Jesus Christ, more specifically, that's the him. Jesus says in Matthew 7, starting in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which sent me. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out many demons? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And Jesus says, I will profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I don't know who you are. So we have to do what he has said. But we can't just say it in name only. We actually have to be doers of the word. Well, what is he saying? Well, he said that we must believe that he is the Christ. John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus Christ says, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Also Mark 16, 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned or condemned. He says you have to believe. He also says you have to repent. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus Christ says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Drop down two verses, Luke chapter 13, verse number 5, Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. He says the same thing twice. In school, when a teacher would say something twice, that makes it important. Here Christ has said you either have to repent or you'll perish. He said it twice. He said you have to hear him, you have to repent, and the repentance is a change in thought that results in a change in actions. If I'm walking to the left and all of a sudden I go about face and I start walking right, I have repented. I'm going in a different direction. Next, he said we must be willing to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus Christ says, I want you to know that everything we're looking at, red letter, that's what Christ said. Matthew 10, 32, 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So we either confess him or we deny him, and then upon that, we are baptized upon that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Once again, Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized, and is conjunction, and joins two thoughts. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved, but he that does not believe will be damned or condemned. What has God said? Hear my Son. And Jesus Christ says you can't just hear it, you actually have to put it into practice by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Your sins are washed away, come out of that water grave, a new creature alive in Christ. I hope as you go throughout your study of God's Word, you are hearing what he has said to do, and that's one of the goals here of this program, is helping you hear that. This has been Reading the Word. I am Justin Reed. I hope you'll join us next week. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. Have a great day.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.